Good morning, everyone. Thank you to those who've come, especially for today. It's good to have you, Mrs. Oates. just something, I don't know if you noticed, but on my slides, I too have an owl, and Andrew and I did not conspire over this. It was just one of those mind blend things. We're just totally in sync. I think I mentioned yesterday, but not everyone was here. My love affair with the book of Proverbs started when I was 16 years old, when I got my Thompson Chain Reference Bible and was reading through beginning to the end. And that's great. It was great to be imbibing God's word, God's proverbs, but of course, like you, I grew up with other proverbs in my life. One of the proverbs that I think most of us have grown up with is this one here. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And in some ways, that is a pretty good proverb. It's something that a lot of people teach to their children because we want them to be resilient. We want them to be strong in the face of criticism and to realize that the things people say aren't everything. We want them to grow in self-esteem. We're saying, you know, don't pay too much attention to the things that people say about you. Talk's cheap. It's another thing we say, isn't it? Talk's cheap. Don't let their words get under your skin. But as much as that is a positive thing, I actually think it can have a negative consequence as well. Because that old proverb that we grew up with, not one of the proverbs from God's word, it teaches us that words are lightweight. But words are not lightweight. Words have real gravity. Words can affect us. They might not break our bones, but they can weigh you down like nothing else can. You probably know that from your own experience, things people have said. And so God's wisdom in the book of Proverbs teaches us, yes, words aren't everything. They are not the same as actions, but words do have weight. Words have substantial weight. And the words that we speak and the words that we post and that we tweet and that we email, all of those things, those words are in fact a big deal and we need to pay attention to them. So in our session today, again, remember, trying to give you a bit of a taste for the book of Proverbs. I would love if you came away from camp thinking, yeah, I'm going to set aside some time to read through Proverbs slowly and meditate on it. Today, we're going to give attention to understanding the weight of our words. It's interesting that apart from the subject of wisdom, Proverbs probably has more to say about our words and our speech than any other topic. There is more in the book of Proverbs than we're going to cover today. But what I want to do is get to the heart of the message. And the heart of the message is really that Proverbs tells us there are two things going on with our words. Chapter 18, verse 21 is the key statement, I think, for understanding what the book of Proverbs has to say about our words. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So those two things. The tongue has the power of life and death. Life and death. Both of those things are present in the things that we say, which is an amazing thing to think about. The Bible is telling you that your words have the power of life and death. Your tongue has the power of life and death. It may seem like a little bit of an exaggeration, but when you think about it, it's not, because words literally do lead to death. Our society recognizes that. That's why, especially in recent years, we've had laws against hate speech come about. I mean, tragically, far too many people have taken their life because words spoken to them have cut them apart. But that's not the only thing that it says. Not just death, words also have the power of life. Words can bring life to people. And that also, I think, is literally true. If that weren't true, we would not have services like Lifeline. I mean, Lifeline doesn't dispense medicines, it doesn't go out and rescue people, It's a service where someone will speak words to a person in distress so that they might not take their life or do something ridiculous. So our own experience of the world tells us it's true. Life and death, the tongue has the power of both of them. But Proverbs is not just saying literally words can bring life and words can cause death. The reason Proverbs 18:21 is here in the Bible is to remind you and to remind me that even in the ordinary moments of day-to-day living, your tongue has a great deal of power. It has much more power than you probably think it has. That's what's going on in this verse. Not just literally life and death, but your tongue has more power than you think it does. And that's a message that the New Testament is concerned with as well. Jesus, of course, speaks about our words being like murder. And we had the reading from James chapter 3 as well, that whole section that talks about the power of the tongue. And so here it is again in the New Testament. Even in the ordinary moments of life, your tongue has more power than you think it does. So what should you do? Be careful with what you say. Be wise about how you speak and when you speak and about what you speak. I want to think for a moment now about the destructive power of words. Here's what it says in Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Words can make deep wounds. In the heat of verbal battle, or maybe when we feel emotionally cornered or humiliated, that's when we use words, don't we, to thrust and slash at other people. The thing is, just like a sword, once you've wounded someone with your words, there's no undoing it. You can't unsay the words. They've come out and you can't kind of pull them back and make their effect go away. The illustration that's used in that verse is very helpful. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Think about that image. If you stab a sword into someone, you don't have to leave the sword there. In fact, that's not what you would normally do. You take the sword out, but the sword comes out, the wound remains. The damage is done. And even when it heals, there is still a scar left in the body. And so it is with our words. God's word wants us to realize that our words, when they're reckless, can do serious damage. Now, I'm sure I don't need to persuade you of that. There are things probably that have been said to you. Maybe you've never spoken about these with anybody else. Maybe things years ago, decades ago, that have left a scar in your own life. Words that continue to affect the way that you think about who you are as a person. Words that affect whether or not you'll ever trust certain people. So you know this part of Scripture is true because it's happened to all of us, hasn't it? And what the book of Proverbs wants you to do now is not just think about the words that other people have said to you, but think about the words which you say to other people. Pay attention to the kinds of things that come out of your own mouth. Here's Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 4. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Is that really what you want? Verse 4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue does what? It crushes the spirit. Our words, your own words, are much more powerful than we tend to think. One more thing I want to say about the power of words and the damage they can do. This is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 we're going to look at. It's not just the people to whom we're speaking directly who can be injured by our words. This is another thing Proverbs wants us to realize. Words have the power to separate people who ought to be friends, and not just when you speak directly to one another. So chapter 16, verse 28... A perverse man stirs up dissension, and gossip separates close friends. See how that works? It's when you're gossiping, the friend that you're separated from is not the person that you're gossiping to, but they hear back about the things that you've said, and you're separated. Just in case you miss it, chapter 17, verse 9, he who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. There it is again. Gossip and rumors and half-baked truths and personal opinions that are bandied about as though they're fact, chattering about people's perceived failings and weaknesses, those sorts of things has probably ruined more friendships than we care to imagine. But here's the thing. I think those sorts of things have probably ruined the witness of more churches than heresy ever has. So please be careful with your words. If you love the church as Jesus does, be careful with your words. Don't use your words to drive a wedge between people or to undermine the integrity of others. The truth is, your words are more powerful than you think. The impact of them on others is more significant than you might expect. You might tell yourself, oh, this conversation I'm having doesn't really matter, and it's okay to say this thing in this context because the person I'm talking to already thinks the same thing as me. The Bible says, no, don't try to justify yourself in this. Instead, learn the wisdom that comes from God. So Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. So, our words are more powerful than we tend to think. That's one thing the book of Proverbs wants us to see about our words. But also, not just the destructive power of words. Gee, that'd be depressing if that was all that was there. You've probably already noticed with that kind of the Proverbs in two parts. No, there's often a positive perspective, and so Proverbs wants us to notice the positive perspective that's there as well. So, if we go back to, I think I've got a missing slide or an extra slide, let's see how we go. Proverbs 18:21, about the tongue having the power of life and death. The emphasis in that proverb that we looked at is actually on the positive side of the equation, isn't it? The second half, that kind of fills out that proverb, says that those who love it will eat its fruit. So it's saying, if you pay close attention to your tongue and to the weight of your words, and if you use them then to bring life and blessing, then you'll experience a blessing as well. And if your tongue is poisonous, then you will eat that kind of fruit also. Now, in your booklet, there's a list of proverbs there. You might want to look them up and pay more attention to them later on. But I just want to read through them fairly quickly just to give you a sense of the positive message of the power of the tongue. So chapter 12, verse 18, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Chapter 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. You might remember we saw that before. We focused on the negative, but here's the positive. Chapter 15, verse 4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. And chapter 16, verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. See, the Proverbs is also saying, have this picture as well. In an arid land, your tongue can be a tree of life. Your tongue can bring sweetness to the soul of the person to whom you're speaking. Words have great power, wonderful power to bring relief and refreshment and peace and comfort. And it's not just superficial either. 16 verse 24, it talks about how our words can get right down into the very deepest parts of life. Words can be like good medicine that goes in and is then kind of seeps through a person's system and brings wholeness and healing. Our words do have much more weight, much more power than we normally realize, and we need to be aware of the weight of our words. The more that I read Proverbs, the more I see just how much I have to be reminded of this constantly. Because it's so easy for us to treat our words cheaply. It's so easy for us just to rattle words off according to the conventions of ordinary conversation or the kinds of words that we've heard in podcasts or on TV or wherever we hear things. And we just rattle them off in a way that suits our personality. We're doing our best not to try to hurt anybody. But actually, we need to be aware of the weight of our words. We need to do more with our words. In fact, what I think Proverbs is teaching us is that we ought to invest deeply with our words. Our words are powerful. They're not things that we should just, you know, not worry about. If we invest deeply with our words to bring blessing, we can be really helpful and effective. And think about it this way. I need to employ my words for the glorious purpose which God has given them. That's what Proverbs is saying. Invest in your words so that you employ them for the glorious purpose which God has given them. Because using your words well is in fact a reflection of God himself who created us in his image. There are various ways that we do that, but this is one that I think we overlook. What could be more reflective of the God who created us in his image that we use our words as he uses his? God spoke and creation came into being. The God of the Bible is a speaking God and he does great things with his words. Jesus speaks and the dead are raised at the sound of his voice. So when we're told that the power of our tongue is the power of life and death, why would we ever use our tongue for anything but life? Even things as simple as paying attention to the right time to speech. Proverbs talks about that. It says it can be a great blessing. Here's one of Fiona's favourite verses. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Or 15:23, how good is a timely word? And then there's this image as well. So there's the timeliness of words. There's also words have great power, even when they're gentle. So 25 verse 15, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Isn't that remarkable? Even in the toughest, hardest situations, gentle speech can be the most persuasive. Here's the image that I carry around in my head. I think, I'm not 100% sure of this because it's a long time ago, but I think this is an image that I picked up reading Larry Crabb's book, Encouragement, back in the 80s sometime. But the word that I carry around in my head, the image I carry around in my head, which I think comes from there, is that when you speak, imagine that you have in your hand a surgeon's scalpel, okay? And your words are like that scalpel. Used recklessly, they can cause immense damage. But with care and great love, they can bring healing and life. It's worth investing in our words. So how do you do it, though? Because I know my own experience is you can do well, but it's pretty easy to do poorly. Our words are more powerful than we realize. How do we stop using them for death and use them for life? How do you get control of your tongue? Remember that was the question in James chapter 3. How do you harness the power of your speech so that it's wise and winsome, so that it's sweet to the soul and healing to the bones? Well, there is a clue in the book of Proverbs. If you look at chapter 16, verse 23, it says this. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. And the clue there is at the beginning of the verse. It's that the heart guides the mouth. And I say it's a clue in answering that question because It's something that Jesus picks up in the New Testament. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you'll read him say these sorts of things in a couple of different ways. But let me read from Luke chapter 6, reading from verse 43. So Jesus says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. So people don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars." In fact, isn't it interesting? James, the brother of the Lord, when he's writing in James chapter 3, uses the same sort of imagery, doesn't he? So Jesus has this image of trees. And how do you know what kind of tree a tree is? Well, you look at its fruit. The fruit that it produces is evidence that tells you what kind of tree it is. And then he goes on to say this: "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." So he's saying the same thing with people. The things that come out of a person are evidence of what kind of person they are, what's going on in their heart. Then he concludes with this: "For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." It's just like Proverbs 16:23. What comes out of our mouths is directed by what's in our hearts. I remember very clearly once listening to a talk that I downloaded from online, a talk by Paul Tripp, and he was talking about a family wedding that he went to as a child, and one of his uncles at that wedding got rolling drunk, and he started saying all kinds of crude and disgusting things to people or about people. And he said he'll never forget what happened. His mother bundled the children up together when she thought it's about time to go home. And she took them out of the reception center and got them into the car. And instead of making excuses for her out-of-control relative, because the boys were clearly affected by seeing their uncle like this, she taught her boys this important lesson. She said, "Alcohol never made anyone say anything that wasn't already in their heart." And Jesus says, when we speak, we're bringing up the things that are stored in our heart, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So as we've been going through this section of these bits of Proverbs, if you realize that you've got a word problem, then you need to realize that you're not going to fix your word problem just by focusing on what you say. You won't do it just by trying to fix your words. This is not a, there is no quick fix for this. Just like if you've got a peach tree and you want apples, you're not going to make it an apple tree by nailing apples onto the peach tree. You need to change the tree. And so to fix our speech problem, we need to go deeper than just our words. It's our hearts that need work. It's no good to only work on our speech. We need to put work into the state of our hearts. And how do you do that? Well, I reckon one of the key things is we need to nourish our souls with the wonders of God's grace. We need to feed our minds with the awesomeness of God's glory and greatness. Our hearts are like the command and control center of our lives. Okay, it's not just about our emotions. It's not just about romantic feelings. In the Bible, this is where everything kind of comes from. And we need to make sure that that command and control center of our lives is being powered by the gospel. That God's great message about how he has going to gather everything together under the one head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he does that out of his grace, that needs to be at the center of our hearts. That amazing and wonderful news that God has not treated me as I deserve. In fact, that God has not spoken words of condemnation to me that I deserve to have spoken to me. Do you see that? Because of my own sinful commitment to my own glory and my own comfort, the truth is I actually deserve to hear harsh words from God. because of my pride in thinking that I'm actually a pretty good person and there are things in life that I can just get on with and I don't need to worry about God, and God ought to be pleased with me for the things that I'm doing. Because of that, I actually deserve to hear words of curse from God. But instead of harsh words and instead of being cursed, the message of the gospel, the word that God has spoken through his Son to us, is that out of his great love and out of the riches of his mercy, God instead speaks words of life, words of love, and words of redemption to every single person who turns to him and seeks his mercy. How's that possible? It's possible because Jesus, who never had a bad word spoken to him from his Father, who existed in perfect harmony with God the Father and God the Spirit from eternity past, it's possible because the Lord Jesus, who only deserved to hear good words from God, swapped places with me. So that when he died on the cross, instead of him in that moment hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant," for the first time in all of eternity, Jesus cries out to his Father and all he hears is silence. That on the cross, when he swapped places with me, instead of hearing from his Father, "You are my Son whom I love, with you I'm well pleased," in that moment Jesus became a curse for us, as he took on his shoulders our sin, he suffered condemnation in our place, so that we who deserve to be condemned can hear God say to us, "You are my Son whom I love. You are my daughter whom I love." And who wouldn't want to hear that from the Creator of the universe? To hear those words spoken to their heart. So, if you want to change your words, that's the place to start. Let the weight of those words of eternal significance, let the weight of the silence as Jesus hung on the cross, let that sink into your soul and meditate on it, marvel on it, rejoice in it. And then in that context, understand the weight of your own words. And pray that God would transform your heart by the power of his word, his gospel word, so that everything that you do, including the things that you say with your own mouth, might constantly overflow from a heart that is being transformed by God's grace. How about we pray? Our Father, we thank you that you're a God who speaks, and that in making us in your image, you've given us not just language, but a gift that has incredible power in the lives of others. Father, we thank you as the God who speaks. In your mercy, you've not spoken to us the words that we deserve to hear. "Away from me, you wicked servant." But instead, out of your grace, you speak to us as if we are indeed your son, your daughter. That you have spoken to us to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not because of our own particular faithfulness, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your mercy that he swapped places with us, that he heard condemnation so that we might hear words of life. And so we pray that you'd make us wise, transform our hearts by your word of gospel grace, so that we might be people who use our words wisely to bring life instead of death. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.